In the studio, I've got Fleur Rubin. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Lisa Uphill's on her way.
Yes.
Yes, we're having a dual interview this morning. There's so many artists at the Arts Weekend. I think there's over 60. We're not interviewing all of you.
No.
just a few. Fleur, where are people going to be able to see your art during the Arts Weekend?
So me and Lisa and Sarah Steed will be at Rangitai next to the old hut at the Rangitai office.
Okay.
So it's a really nice space. So definitely come by if you want to escape all the busyness from town.
Yeah, well, I think everyone will be busy having talked to other artists in the previous Arts Weekends. It can be quite overwhelming sometimes.
And, definitely.
And if there's three of you there, I'm sure lots of people will be turning up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's tell the people what sort of art you do.
So I work with acrylics and mixed media. And honestly, my style varies every year depending on what chapter of life I'm in. And a previous work of mine is film photography with beautiful ladies painted over it. And at the moment, I'm doing more of a color series with snakes, flowers, and of snakes, suns, and phases. You can see my work on my Instagram if you want to have a look before you come out.
Tell us your Instagram.
So at the moment, I'm just inspired by colors and creating beautiful color scenes and a bit more abstract. This is the first time I painted without really thinking about it, and I just made whatever felt right. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not a deep story this time behind my paintings. It's just what...
It might be a deeper story.
Yeah, it might be.
You just don't know what it is yet.
Exactly.
So what's the name on your Instagram so people can find it?
StudioO.nz.
Okay, all right. And so this, I've got a piece of art I'm looking at now. You said that's not... What's happening at the moment?
That is exactly what's
that
happening
one is,
at the moment.
It's got snakes and...
Snakes and suns and phases and plants.
Okay. And it's... How do we describe that? It's quite elemental?
Yeah.
Kind of simple in its forms?
Yeah, it's quite 2D, elemental, slightly abstract, a bit of a spiritual touch to it, I would say. Yeah, strong colors.
And so what led you to that? Like you said you seemed each year you like to do something different.
Yeah.
What was the reason for this?
Well, I just had a baby, so my time has been very limiting. And that this way, I didn't do any research. I would just get starting and paint whatever felt right. And for some reason, it was snakes and faces and suns that felt beautiful to me. And I just wanted to create stuff that I would want on my wall as well.
You didn't try to psychoanalyze why
no.
you did that?
Normally I would, but this time I didn't, no.
Okay, and how old's your baby?
6 months.
So how's it been preparing for Arts Weekend with a newborn baby in the house?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Any little moment that I get when dad is home, I'm painting.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that it gives me more space and time to sometimes reflect on what I've just did because baby interrupts me and I need to spend time with him and then I come back to it later, which is nice. I'm not like on the rush to get it done. So in that way, it's very good for my work, I reckon.
Okay. So we're going to see this type of elemental work. I'm calling it elemental.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's very accurate.
Yeah,
I'm not an art critic, but so there'll be some of that. Will there be other
Yes.
artworks that you've done that are different styles?
Yeah, so there will be some older work of mine that you might have seen at the Everyone store and at Lifted. It's film photography with ladies painted over it. It's black and white work. And then I have some astrology posters that will be there and some older posters probably too. Everything is, you can see it on my website and on my Instagram. And then in combination with the heads of Lisa and jewelry from Sarah, we have quite a various... amounts of work there.
These, like, if you're just listening, you can't see the artwork, but it is really different stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. And the astrology posters, like, why those?
So I'm originally a graphic designer, and so that came more from my graphic design work.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you feel like is there an argument for saying, well, graphic design is commercial work and art is art, and you shouldn't combine the two?
I would say that you can say that my art is quite commercial. And that's just because of how my brain works. It's still artistic, but it is definitely more on the commercial side. Yeah.
Sometimes there's like a snobbery around things like that?
I would be if I was an artist, because in that way, my approach is just very differently from their process. how they approach their art. And for me, because I'm visually trained as a graphic designer, it's more about creating a visual, appealing color scheme and work, and less about the depth of the art piece, which I think most artists go through a deeper progress.
Yeah.
And mine is a bit more visually just appealing approach.
But there's always something behind it though. Like it doesn't just
there is
like our brains are complex things.
Yeah, I know. You know?
It's not just something you saw yesterday and you're redoing it, right?
No, I'm realizing that this series with the snakes is a bit about being in a new chapter and growth, and I can link them to that. So one of my work pieces is called Awakening, and the other is Release, and the other is Retreat. So it's different phases of spiritual growth, but it's not how it originated. It just came from my brain onto the piece, and there wasn't anything behind it until later that I seen it, that I was like, oh, this can be the meaning.
And as I imagine a lot of people with a newborn baby would be like, no, I'm just not going to paint.
Yeah.
But are you kind of like, I just have to paint?
Yes. Because I missed out on the other art weekends because I was too late signing up, and it's just very popular. That this time I told myself I have to do it, and I was in contact with Nikki, and thankfully she reminded me of the date because otherwise I would have forgotten.
Well, you said you signed up 4 days after the baby was born.
Yes, I got a text from Nikki and she was like, Fleur, are you signing up? And I'm like, oh, totally forgot I'm here with a newborn baby.
Was it first baby?
First baby, yeah.
Yeah, see, I was thinking, where was I 4 days after the first baby was born, and I wasn't in the mood for anything.
No, I think the hormones definitely kept me going at that time.
Yeah, see, guys don't get that. We don't have that bit of help. Hey, Lisa's turned up. Lisa, do you want to pull up to the microphone there? And we'll put you need to get in fairly close. So, hello.
How are you going?
We're good. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And, folks, you might have seen Lisa's hats around town more and more, I think. Lately,
yeah, they're cropping up.
Yeah, and you're wearing one right now. Not that anyone can tell on the radio, but that's all good. So, is that hats is what you do?
Yeah. Well, I'm still part time. I have a job at Stendi Electrical as well. I've managed.
That's where I know
office.
Your name.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where it was.
So I used to work for them full time a couple of years ago. It paired back to part time, and I mainly do the bookkeeping for them now.
Okay.
And yeah, so I started doing hats a couple of years ago, sort of stumbled into it, really fell in love with it. And so I'm still sort of growing towards, getting the exposure and getting my name out there. And
was it a lockdown project that started it? I've had a lot of conversations with people who started lockdown projects. See,
no, it was. I think that time helped having more time to practice. But I met a couple that were wearing these really cool hats, and they were visiting from Hawaii, and they bought these hats in the States, and asked them why they got them, and so I started following a hat maker. And his hats were sort of up in the thousands of US dollars. And I thought, well, I'm perhaps not going to, I'll just sort of start practicing and jazzing up my existing hats and sort of playing with that idea. And then I was obviously getting into it, and my partner Tom noticed that, and he bought me a tutorial to learn how to make a hat with a milliner.
Yeah.
So a milliner typically will make female hats.
What is a milliner is a thing?
A milliner, sorry.
Or is a person? A milliner is a person.
A milliner makes, traditionally there were female hats and men's, men's hats. And so a milliner will make sort of fascinators, the sort of frilly little hats that women wear to the races and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
which isn't really my bag. I think it's an amazing craft, but it didn't interest me as much as hat making. And obviously now, back in the day, hat making was sort of, it was men's hats, but now it's sort of quite unisex.
The hat you're wearing now, is that felt? Is that what it's
made
of?
So yeah. I make my hats from fur felt, which... is So typically hats will be made from, sort of high street hats will be made from wool or something nasty and synthetic. Wool is okay, but it will have a short sort of lifespan if you're sort of wearing it every day. And
does it keep its shape so well?
Not so well, no. It will lose its shape within a few years, depending on how often you wear it. And you can't really reshape it. Whereas fur felt, so I use mainly rabbit fur felt. It's a byproduct of the meat industry where countries are eating rabbit, or countries where it's a pest, so pest control.
I've just realised I don't know how felt is made.
So so that's a whole industry in itself. I'm not doing the felting.
Yeah.
I get the felt. The felt comes to me in a sort of dome-ish sort of shape, and then I steam it and stretch it over a hat block. I've got a hat block for every head size.
Yes.
So it's, and then it's sort of there's different hat blocks for different types of hat making, but for me I shape it into a dome, and then I do this the sort of the crease of whatever the crown shape is going to be, whether it's like that pinched fedora look or a telescope shape, or you know, I do that by hand.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. So there are some blocks that you can get that are in that shape already, but I really like to put my own sort of shape into the hat.
I now imagine you standing there for 5 hours holding the shape till it dries or something. I'm pretty sure that's not what you do, but like, how do you get the shape to go? And do you have to make it wet? And
so the felt, when you apply heat and steam to the felt, it goes quite malleable, and you can sort of shape it. And then it, as soon as it cools, it's staying in that shape.
Yeah.
So it's
Is there any danger if your hat gets really wet that it's going to lose its shape later on? Should we worry about that?
With wool, yes. With fur felt, that's one of the reasons I like to use fur felt. That you, I mean, especially the higher ends of fur felt. A lot of the hats that you see, like cowboys and ranchers and people wearing them for their trade. Their hats will be made from beaver fur, which obviously being a water animal, it's more water resistant.
Right.
See, I
realise I know nothing about this. Like,
I mean,
this is all new
neither
to me.
Did I. Just a few years ago. Yeah, I kind of got obsessed with it. And it's funny because it's quite a secretive trade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people don't readily want to give up that information. It's not...
Do you have to sign something like sign something away, firstborn child or something?
I'm not sure what it is. I don't know why it's like that. But you, you can't really easily find sort of tutorials on YouTube and things like that. There's the odd thing kicking about now, but even just like a couple of years ago when I started, there wasn't much information out there. I had to really go out and make connections.
Get a real person in the real world to show you how to do it.
And just find a community. And I'm in quite a good hat makers community with some hat makers in Australia. I touched base with... I went to London recently and met up with a hat maker in London. And you've just got to make the connections and... and then hopefully when people show that you've put your own effort and time into it, they will eventually kind of open up to you and share tips. And
it's very old school, isn't it, this kind of approach?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And so the sort of hats you make, like you've got quite a wide brim one on now. This is good for sun. Mm. Are all your hats like this, or is there a variety of shapes and...
I do a lot of wide brim hats, and my most popular shape is probably the pinched fedora front sort of shape.
Yeah.
But I can cut the brim down to any size, and I have a few different flanges which make the brim curled, little tools to curl that maybe just like the edge of the brim up, and there's. I mean, the possibilities are endless, really.
This one's the one you're wearing. It's got, what do you call
binding,
it? Binding.
Binding
around the edge. Yeah, around the rim, yeah.
I do that by hand. It takes me a good couple of hours to get through that.
So this is all bespoke, like it's craft, isn't it?
Yeah.
What you're doing. Are there, I presume there's factories around the world that also make hats that like stamp them out or something? Does that
happen?
Yeah,
there are a few sort of factories that will chunk them out. And then some where it's sort of like in between, they'll have the more industrial equipment that will steam and then sort of press the hats for you. But there's still artistry in it where they're, you know, putting certain elements have to be sewn by hand, you know, the trimmer, yeah, you know, the hat band and whatnot. But yeah, for me, I just have my steamer and my steam iron and my hat blocks, I get by. My collection is growing and growing.
Have you been producing frantically for the Arts Weekend? This is what I expect. Most artists have been very busy the last couple of months.
Yeah, totally. I've actually just had to screw some new holes in the wall where I'm hanging my hats in the garage. I did it when Tom went out yesterday because he doesn't like me putting holes in the walls.
Oh dear, has he discovered it yet?
Yeah, he said because I had a big tidy when I'm doing my hat making, like every ribbon comes out, everything just comes out, and it's just a complete chaos in my studio. I'm not a tidy maker,
right?
So I had a big old tidy and rearrange yesterday morning, and then he came back and that's what he noticed first. So he's like, oh, it's so tidy in here.
Oh yeah, yeah, we noticed that. So Fleur, can we ask you, with your art and a six-month-old baby in the house, how's the state of affairs in the house at the moment?
So my studio is now the baby room.
All right.
Which means I'm painting on the dining table and just pulling it out whenever I can, and I keep it tidy because I don't have any space.
Right, yeah. And the baby has not yet crawling, so.
Oh, just started.
Just started crawling.
Yeah,
so
just started crawling.
Yeah, all of a sudden all sorts of things need to be up high.
I'm glad that the paintings are now done, so I don't have to watch him crawling and paint at the same time.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Fleur, like how did you get into your art?
So I think it was actually lockdown. I've always wanted, or even before that, I started traveling and I started drawing again. And before that, I had a really hard time drawing because I was always judging myself when I was drawing, and I always felt it wasn't good enough.
You can't get into a flow state with that, can you?
Exactly. And then when I started traveling, I did the Manas Lu in Nepal, which meant that I didn't have a phone because I was hiking. And for the first time, I couldn't look up anything, so I just drew from my brain, and I think that was really relieving. And then from that on, it kind of just flowed.
Right.
Yeah.
So no sort of formal training or stuff like that?
No.
Were you doing it as a kid or at school?
Yeah, I drew heaps as a kid, but my dad was always like, oh, that's not a thing. You need to have a job that, you know.
Oh, okay. Right. Where's your dad from?
From the Netherlands.
Okay. And is that a typical attitude in the Netherlands?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
And so I ended up studying to become a fashion designer.
Yeah.
So I could draw in that way. And from there on, I went to a graphic designer, and then now I finally allow myself to just draw and paint whatever I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Lisa, has art been something in your background?
Yes. So I did sort of art photography and textiles in college, and then I sort of went down a bit of a admin background mixed with a bit of graphic design. And I mean, I've tried all the things.
Okay.
I've tried jewelry making. I did a bit of silversmithing. And you know, weaving and all sorts.
Right,
all sorts
you've really been
I've
on
tried.
A search. Do you think you've landed on the thing now?
Yeah, 100%. When I was trying these things, it wasn't necessarily to find a career out of them. I'm arty, and you know, I've just always wanted to try lots of different things, but nothing landed quite like hat making did. Like, I just got really obsessed with it, and I find myself just wanting to do that in my spare time, and I probably spend a bit of an unhealthy amount of time in my garage workshop hermiting away, especially in the winter. I just really, really love it. There's so many different steps to the process. It just doesn't get boring. Yeah, I really, and I love how much how much character and personality you can put into a hat. A lot of the hats that I make are custom, so people come to me and sometimes people want like an item of sentimental value put on their hat, like an old coin or something like that. Or and then sometimes it's functional and they just want it to, you know, they want it out for out in the garden, or they just want it for some protection, but they want it to, you know, reflect their personality and style. And yeah, there's just the possibilities are just endless. And
I'm wondering if there's a bit of creative freedom in making a hat, because it has a practical purpose,
and you
have to make it, has to be a hat.
Mm.
And people, like with Fleur's work, it's definitely art, and people are going to be judging it on its artistic merit and things like that. But with your hat, is there more freedom?
I feel like it's artistic. Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not artistic. I'm just saying, do you feel
artistic freedom?
Yeah, artistic freedom just to do whatever you want and not worry about how people are going to think of it from a point of view as a piece of art.
Depends on what I'm making. If I'm making a ready-made hat that I'm selling, you know, just from my website, then total freedom. Although sometimes I am constantly thinking, who's going to buy this? Is someone going to like this? But I am trying now to just make more out there stuff and just hope that, like, I will find my audience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I try and make to what sells in shops, then I'm just making sort of like beige ordinary hats, and it kind of feels like,
although,
and also, you know, my hats are at a higher price point because of the quality, but also if you don't know a lot about hats, then it's also the style of it and the colors and the patterns and the materials that I'm using that are going to attract people to them. But with my customs, I'm like, yes, I love the way this, I love the direction this is going. And I never make anything I don't like, but I definitely end up making things that I wouldn't have thought of, you know,
making myself. It'll push you in a different place. So, folks, we're talking to Fleur Rubing and Lisa Uphill, and there's a third person going to be exhibiting with you guys over at Rangatahi by the over the road from the hut, or next to the hut?
Next to the hut.
Next to the hut.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so who is the third person? Tell us a little bit about them,
Sarah,
before we go.
Sarah Steed. She makes beautiful silver, mostly silver.
She does,
jewelry. Yeah.
We did our silversmithing course together, actually.
So you know more.
Oh, not necessarily. No.
So you can look her up on Instagram as well. I think it's Sarah Steed Design.
Mm.
Yeah, really beautiful silversmith work. And some of her work is also at the Old School Art Center for the pre-exhibition, so you can also go and have a look there.
Are you guys at the pre-exhibition?
I thought everyone
was supposed to
Everyone is in there except the people from the Hetch, because they just selected two works. So to see everyone from the Hetch, you have to go to the Hetch,
which will be here in the town hall
on
the weekend. And I think someone's lining me up some emerging artists to talk to as well.
They're coming Thursday.
Although you guys sound like you've emerged pretty recently as well as artists.
I think if we wouldn't have been able to show at Rangitahi, we would probably be part of the Hetch, because this is both of our first proper Raglan Arts Week in Tuhe.
I think, I mean, I could have opened up my garage, but at least now I can make all the mess leading up to the Raglan Arts Weekend and not have to tidy it in time.
Okay. Well, look, hey, it's been really good to talk to you guys this morning.
Thank you.
Rangatahi by the
hut.
By the hut. So I was getting hut and hatch mixed up in my head then.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys have a good weekend and get inundated with visitors.